And
good. It's making a noise.
And let's see if I can hear you.
Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
There, that's the one. Okay.
Well, Congressman Rodney Davis, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Jim.
Okay, and we are recording now, so I wanted to ask you about, the name I have here is the Disaster Declaration Improvement Act as being the name of the legislation, which you first proposed, was it 2013?
We did. We proposed this language, and it really was in the wake of my personal frustration in my previous job and working with communities and seeing communities like Harrisburg, Illinois, get devastated by a tornado. Asked the federal government for assistance, and the federal government said no to Harrisburg and to Illinois, and at the same time, in the same disaster, said yes to other states like Missouri and Indiana. I didn't think it was fair, and frankly, the more I delved into the policy that FEMA uses, I realized it wasn't fair, and I wanted to fix it.
Now, who was having the problem getting the disaster aid? Was this homeowners or businesses or local governments?
This is local governments. This has to do with public assistance. Remember, individual assistance reaches a much lower threshold to be able to have individuals who may have experienced damage in a disaster apply for access to a Small Business Administration loan, or if they qualify, their income levels qualify, they could get, I believe, up to a $15,000 grant that can help them. They're never going to get whole again off the individual assistance, but it gives them access to capital they may not have access to in the wake of a disaster. But the public assistance is where communities already are budgeting for their annual needs, and all of a sudden a disaster strikes. And they have to fix roads. They have to fix water towers. They have to fix infrastructure within their community. And that's where FEMA needs to step up and have a more fair process to allow communities like Harrisburg and even Gifford and Washington to have access.
Those were from the tornadoes. They were hit by tornadoes in November 2013. Did they lose out, you feel,
yes,
on FEMA aid that they should have gotten?
Absolutely they did. Washington did, Gifford did, Harrisburg did. Those were all tornadoes. Just 2 years ago now, there was massive flooding in central Illinois, in my home county of Christian County, where Kincaid and Christian County, we lost 4 lives. And we were unable to also see communities like Kincaid and Taylorville and others that were affected by these massive floods get access to public assistance when other states and communities within adjoining states like Missouri and Indiana and Kentucky did get access. And it all boils down, Jim, to a formula that FEMA uses that uses the state's population as a whole. Well, Illinois is a large populated state, but most of our population lives in the northeast corner of our state. And we were subject here in rural Illinois and central Illinois to standards that are unattainable. We were asked to have over $18 million in damages when states like Iowa are only asked to have $4.3 million in damages. And we actually had over $15 million in damages in Illinois during the floods 2 years ago, but we were unable to reach that threshold. This bill fixes that.
So what if it's not too complex, how do you make that sort of change to be fair to smaller communities without distorting the formula for heavy concentrated populations like the Chicago area?
The formula is never distorted against more populated areas. The formula is only distorted against areas that aren't as populated, where most of the disasters hit in Illinois, Champaign included. It's when you have disasters go into large-scale communities, largely populated communities, that your disaster levels and the amount of damages exponentially rise. It's when you hit a town, when you see a disaster hit a town like Gifford that doesn't have the money to rebuild itself, that is unfairly punished because it's not going to reach a statewide threshold of damages of $17-18 million, where and they're not going to be able to rebuild the infrastructure themselves. the state of Illinois was in no position to help them rebuild the infrastructure either. And that's the whole idea of these formulas for larger states. FEMA believes that larger states should be able to handle disaster assistance in communities and infrastructure rebuilding in communities if they don't reach a certain threshold based on our population. Well, our state can't do that. That's why we needed to change. And what we're trying to say is, and what we are doing is making it more fair for rural communities to be able to reach a threshold to get assistance because they can least afford to rebuild their infrastructure, even when compared to the city of Chicago.
So how do you change this? Are you essentially lowering the threshold? Are you saying that there are different thresholds for different parts of the state?
What we're saying to FEMA is use the existing law that you have to take into consideration localized impacts, because the impact of a tornado going through Gifford and destroying its community and destroying its infrastructure is a lot more impactful than, let's say, a tornado going through a part of Chicago and a larger city. So these localized impacts, not that any tornado going through any community is a good thing. They're always going to be impactful. But when we saw the community like Gifford destroyed, in many cases, in the infrastructure destroyed by the tornado, FEMA now can say, okay, that's going to take Gifford so much more money out of their annual budget that they hadn't had budgeted. We're going to make sure that we give them credit for that when we offer a disaster declaration from the federal government and give them access to money that other communities and other states already have access to. It's taking dollars that are already in existence in a pot of money under the Stafford Act for disasters and giving states like Illinois and the communities that I serve access to those dollars instead of states like Missouri and the communities that are in Indiana access to those dollars. We pay into those pots too, and we deserve to be able to have access to that money, and especially in the wake of a disaster.
You first introduced this proposal in 2013. What took so long to get it passed, and why do you think it's becoming law now?
Well, FEMA doesn't like being told that they have to take into consideration more localized impacts, even though they can already do that. The Obama administration, in my time serving in Congress, has not forced more localized impacts to be considered. And I don't know if it's just the Obama administration, if it was previous administrations, or if it's going to be this administration. But we got a lot of pushback, I believe, from the executive branch in the past. And I'm pleasantly optimistic when working with the new administrator of FEMA. He seems more than willing to look at localized impacts. And now this bill that we're going to have signed into law, hopefully soon, will be able to force FEMA to make those decisions.
Okay, so at this point, and we're speaking on January 3rd, the larger bill, the supplemental disaster bill, has not been signed yet, but it is out of Congress.
It's out of the House. I was hoping that the Senate would have done it before they left for the holidays, but they did not. So maybe it's one that will pass this week, and I would urge all your listeners to reach out to our senators and make sure that they ask that this bill be moved forward as quickly as possible, because this bill also includes much-needed relief for Puerto Rico, where half the country is still without power, the Virgin Islands, Texas, Florida, and all the other areas along the Gulf Coast that were impacted by the recent storms.
And therefore, since it is part of a larger bill, is there anything in the package that you think could trip up action in the Senate?
Well, I would certainly hope not. I mean, when this is the bipartisan agreement that I've seen whenever we have disasters in the past, I've seen bipartisanship when passing supplemental bills. Look, there are two things that the federal government should do well. That's protecting our national security and helping Americans recover from disasters. Those are areas that I've got a record since I got to Washington. One of the first votes I cast was in favor of Superstorm Sandy relief, much to the chagrin of many people in my own party. But I've seen and witnessed the devastation of disasters, not just the tornadoes I talked about, but the massive flooding along the Mississippi River that abuts up to my district in my southwest corner of my district. We're going to be the state that's going to be coming to the federal government the next time a major flood happens, too. And frankly, I would hope that my fellow congressmen and women from all throughout the nation would rally around states like Illinois if disaster struck Illinois, just like it has Texas, Florida, the Gulf states, Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico.
The changes you have for the FEMA formula and for FEMA policy in the disaster supplemental bill, is that the same as you originally proposed?
Yes.
Or did you have to compromise or make changes?
It's basically our language that already passed the House committee that I serve on this year. And that language was put into the reforms portion, because this disaster supplemental, unlike others, actually has reforms to FEMA's processes. I'm not the only one that had a reform that was instituted. There were many other members of Congress that saw where FEMA's policies needed to be changed, and they are actually part of this bill too, part of a larger reform package. And I think that's good, because we're going to make FEMA work for those communities that are hit the hardest, rather than using bureaucratic technicalities to deny communities here in rural Illinois access to the same dollars that rural communities in other states have access to, even though the taxpayers of Illinois, my constituents, pay into that same pot of money with their tax dollars as those other states do.
Are the changes that you want for FEMA in the bill that the Senate is looking
yes.
at?
Yes. Okay. It's our bill. So, yes.
Okay, so it's not something that has to be reconciled with the House bill.
No, they should pass our bill. And when they pass our bill, everything's included.
And once it's signed, is that something that FEMA can act on immediately? Do they have to write new rules or anything like that to make this thing actually work?
Well, FEMA is going to have to implement the rules. Anytime you pass a bill, we have to go through the rulemaking process. But FEMA is well aware, the administrator is well aware of our intentions, and if they implement this law incorrectly, as I've seen the federal government do on occasion, we're going to come back and fight that fight again. But I think they realize how bipartisan this is. I worked with my colleague Sherry Bustos, who was my co-sponsor of this since I got to Congress back in 2013 when we were both sworn in together. Both members of the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, we've been working together to get these proposals across the finish line. And I would hope that we'd see that same bipartisanship coming out of the Senate.
Do you have any idea about, you know, is this something that could be acted on this week or this month?
Should have been acted on before the holidays, but there's one thing I've given up on. It's trying to project when the Senate's going to actually move anything fast.
Okay. So hoping that this can be passed, just looking ahead for 2018, and I know things get tricky in an election year, but do you have a major goal for Congress in this?
Oh, there are plenty of goals. I think moving into this year, infrastructure's got to be the number one issue. It's an issue that I've worked with the administration to begin to address and talk about long-term solutions to our infrastructure funding sources. It's a priority of the president's, and I would hope that we're going to get bipartisan agreement on infrastructure investment, and we'll see within the next few months.
Okay. Congressman Rodney Davis, thank you very much for talking with me.
Thanks for having me, Jim. Okay.